White Walker perpetuated offenses are considered especially heinous. In Westeros, four dedicated friends investigate and discuss these vicious episodes as members of an elite squad known as A Podcast Has No Name.
I'm Ambush.
I'm Morgan. And today we have a special in-studio guest.
Michael Bramage.
Oh, welcome. And this is A Podcast Has No Name.
Yeah.
Yay.
We back.
We back. So today we're talking about Captain Marvel, mm-hmm. recently released.
Mm-hmm.
Carol Danvers becomes one of the universe's most powerful heroes when Earth is caught in the middle of a galactic war between two alien races. Dun, dun, dun. Dun, dun, dun.
And this is, I think this is the 20th film?
21st, I thought.
21st film?
I have not kept count.
All right,
somebody's going to have to look that one up.
Oh,
I'm thinking it's the 21st, but okay. We'll find out.
So while Morgan's getting that information, what was your overall feeling going into the film, and was it met?
I was optimistic, okay. mostly from the trailers being so much fun and really building us up, because we didn't have anything else to go on than our end credit scene in Infinity War.
Right, right.
And, they've been talking about maybe she get to be in Infinity War altogether. Nope, they cut that out. So here we are. Well, I have a certain thing for Captain Marvel, another version we'll talk about later. But it carries the legacy because my dad read the Captain Marvel comics in the 70s. This is pre-Carol Danvers. She would have been a co-star at the time. Mm-hmm. But I was so excited. I couldn't, this is happening. Wow, right. What fun is this? It's buoyant and bouncy. It gets to be serious and it gets to have laughter that never seems forced. The humor never seemed forced in the
film. Very true. I think I was excited primarily because this was one of the first solo hero films in the MCU from a character that we didn't have any interaction with prior.
Mm-hmm.
So when Black Panther got his solo film, we'd already seen him on screen. Everyone was in Avengers, so we were able to see these characters interact. She was just off, gone. So it was like, okay, now we're getting Captain Marvel. How are you going to tie this in? What is this going to look like? And like you said, every trailer that came out was just more and more exciting. It's like, she is kicking ass. This is going to be amazing. This is going to be amazing. What about you, MJ?
What was the question? I found the answer real quick. It's the 21st film.
Okay. So we got that. Question was, what were your feelings going into the film and where they met?
Oh, I was excited. I thought I would be entertained. I thought that it would be a good movie. Michael told me it was fun. So you hear that and it doesn't really go, yeah, that is exactly it, until you're watching it and you realize what he meant by fun.
Right.
It's a bunch of fun. It has its own humor. I didn't expect that. I didn't know what to expect in that regard, I guess. But yes, completely met and then some.
I do like your description of it not feeling forced. And it was very true.
Mm-hmm.
Very true. I felt like there were times when I was just watching the sitcom and I knew all the characters,
it was that comfortable. That easy to slip into.
When they were, what was that place called? Ponchos? When they were
When
they were there and that whole exchange, it was just like, just watching a couple friends.
Yeah.
And it was just really, it was funny. I loved it. I loved it.
It was nice to see Fury and did we decide it was Maria?
Maria.
Yes. Maria.
Click.
And
more fun even when I saw the film, that the cut in the trailers when you see the hand bump from the back is the two of them, not him and Carol.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was real satisfying. Yeah. I was just kind of giddy through the whole film.
Getting more Nick in a movie, period. I think I didn't expect that.
And the relaxing it.
I mean, I did from the trailers. Trailer,
right.
But it wasn't my thought going into knowing there was going to be a Captain Marvel movie.
Yeah.
But getting more of him and young Nick is, I, I, that t- technology is super dope.
Yeah.
It was fun. He was relaxed. He wasn't a jerk.
So let's jump, because we're doing it now. We'll circle back around to Carol. But let's talk about Nick. We've already started going into the character summaries. This version of Nick had a lot less weight on his shoulders because he didn't know what our present day Nick. He hasn't experienced right. all of that yet. So, you know, the mistakes he was making and just the way he was moving around, that he hadn't achieved that sense of confidence that present day Nick Fury just, when he walks into a room, it's like, oh shit, it's Nick.
Who's that guy? That guy means business.
Nick's here. He's got a trench on and it is 80 degrees. And it's Nick. So, everyone calm down.
But he has an ease. There was an ease of, he didn't see him panic. You didn't see him do anything that was so out of character being a younger version. It was.
Which is wild because he's seen some shit he's never seen before in his life that is wild enough to make someone panic, right? Yeah. And he right. did it with ease. There was a somewhat of a confidence there. Like, I can't believe this shit, but I know for sure it's happening.
Right.
And having that real feeler to know that Carol was the right person to align with mm-hmm. and to believe.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes.
You know, we didn't spend half of the movie of her having to convince him.
Yeah.
Which, thank you. Like, let's get rid of that.
Yeah. And that's some really good storytelling, because how many times have we seen this?
Right.
How many times have we been dissatisfied with the main characters trying to get on the same page? It's like, what is it going to take for you to believe them?
Right.
As viewers, we're like, no, but we see this crazy shit. You don't see it?
You don't see it?
Yeah. So. Yeah. That was great that they skipped over that for us. Yeah.
Right. It made the first act of the film a lot more efficient, but it didn't necessarily cut corners.
Yes.
Right. It didn't. No, not at all. Mm-hmm. It felt like it was supposed to be there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Paced mm-hmm. very well. Paced Thank very you. Well.
I don't know my words tonight. Sorry.
I want to save Carol for last.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
Fancy.
Talos. He was far funnier than I anticipated from any of the trailers. The twist of, you know, just the whole flip for the Skrulls for me, because as I remember them in the comics, they were never the good guys. Ever. Right. There were this whole refugee situation. Never. There was never any compassion for any Skrulls at any
point. Wow, so that had to be crazy for you guys, huh?
It was.
Yeah.
Refugees.
Whereas I'm like, look how relatable this is.
He wants to be with his family. Where are these Skrulls coming from the corners? What is happening?
Noble Skrulls. Wow, okay. You're flipping that on its head too. But they don't, this could be a temporary thing. This could be just one group of Skrulls having been refugeed from a war, who've got a different perspective. There could still be something between these two nefarious opposing forces.
Exactly.
But, you know, I don't think I can't imagine the Kree are any better than the Skrulls, right, or vice versa in terms of whatever the conflict is.
But they made it make sense, because isn't that what war is? Every single member of that race isn't going to be at the front lines mm-hmm. involved with the conflict. You right. have just civilians. You have people that are just caught up in what's going on. And as kids, and when they were presenting, you know, these alien races to us, they always gave it to us as they had one monolithic agenda. That's it. These are the good aliens. Those are the bad aliens.
Right.
That's mm-hmm. it. And Skrulls were always the bad aliens, period. There was never an opportunity. But never an opportunity to see them otherwise. But Marvel has seized this, what they've done with the movies, and they started putting in the books now. The Skrulls have their own book. Issue 1, I saw it 2 days ago. It's Meet the Skrulls. And this is actually a family of Skrulls that are undercover. That are hiding. That are hiding here on Earth. And the
are person they hiding because they're refugees? Or are they spying because
I'm not sure. I didn't pick up the book. But
okay.
One of the employees in the comic shop was like, it's hilarious. And I was like, yeah, I don't know if I'm ready to go there yet.
Wow.
I just wasn't ready. I grabbed some other titles. Maybe I'll do some more research. I'm not sure. And usually the best way to get me is put an issue 1 in front of me. Yeah, I'm that guy.
Oh, you're that guy?
I'm that guy.
Wow, I'm such a hard sell.
Issue one? I get a chance to get in one?
Oh, wow.
I might never buy issue two, but I got one. I can say that. It's, yeah.
That's beautiful. I'm the curmudgeon. I'm the old guy who's like, you know, he hears from when he, I've just been 5 years going to Things from Another World, and I love those folks. But there was a member of their staff was like, oh, I'm going to get you to like something new.
Good luck.
Good luck with that. you know, I'm always willing to try, but I have not yet bought a new comic book on spec.
Yet. Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, that's how they get me. That's definitely
yeah.
And don't let it be a miniseries. It's over.
Oh, that's so wonderful. You're ready for fresh stuff.
I am.
Because there's things that are happening out there. It's great. Comics are great.
Indeed.
Did you have anything on Talos?
Man, I loved him. And I didn't think you were supposed to love him.
Yeah. That
and that whole flip of them not being the enemy was like, I don't know why I believed him immediately.
Yeah.
Like the whole thing just made sense. I believed it immediately.
We're not supposed to normally, right? It's like this guy's pulling a double cross.
Right.
Right.
But it never felt like that. I don't know how I know there's some acting technique or writing technique that gets that result.
Yeah.
And but, I don't know what it's called, but hats off and all of that, because
it worked.
It worked.
You did it. You pulled
I believed
it off.
Him. I was just like, oh my God. No, he's the one who needs help here.
Remember where they were like, so can you turn into a cat? What's a cat? Can you turn into a filing cabinet? Why would I do that?
Like, why would I do that?
That was good stuff. I struggled with the it's Ben Mendelsohn, right?
Yes.
I struggled with that because that's really? It's like every role is right there because his voice is so distinctive with his accent.
Mm.
It wasn't as crisp as, say, Rogue One, but it was more like the common Ben Mendelsohn speak.
Yeah.
And so I've struggled with the Skrull part. It was his Skrull makeup seemed more something that was not like the other Skrulls.
Okay.
It was a little bit too smooth. It was a little bit too, okay, we have to make sure we make the actor look good, which is fine.
Even as an alien.
Even as an alien.
But I just felt kind of, oh yeah, it's Ben Mendelsohn. Even though everybody else in the cast is recognizable as well. But I don't know. It's kind of like Christoph Waltz. I get the same thing, but sometimes it's, I can't get enough of you.
Oh, yeah.
Or, it's Christoph Waltz again.
Oh, it's you again. Mm-hmm.
Speaking of it's Man. You again, Jude Law.
Wrong.
Jan Rog.
The Man. Real villain.
Was he?
I don't know.
I felt the whole villain thing in the movie was super murky. Didn't really have a specific enough enemy after she befriended Skrulls. It was more like, oh, you all brought me down and now I'm pissed. But
she didn't want to kill anyone, is that what you're saying?
Like, right.
She didn't have that level of
anger. And I don't know how far we'll go into any spoiler territory with third act of the film.
Yeah, okay. You haven't seen that, so I'm sorry. Yeah,
so
But I could say confidently, I felt like he was definitely the villain.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because I mean, he was doing everything in his power to suppress her and control her, and you know, for their ends, you know. Yeah. So He viewed her as a weapon. Period.
A more powerful weapon.
The most.
Yeah.
But a weapon he couldn't activate, though, entirely. They could mediate the powers, it seemed like, but it seemed as if that there was an issue that if they let her go too far with them, then that creates the problem.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
The little doodad in her neck.
Yeah.
Spoiler.
They had no way to really gauge it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Something must have happened to show how powerful
like
she was.
Like some accidents. Yeah.
Something, you know, that would make them say, we can't, no.
Yeah.
Can't be that.
Yeah. Professor X level suppression. which we'll be seeing
in just another couple months.
coming up. So that was Talos. We talked yeah. about Talos. I don't know if the character name has any kind of root in regular Marvel comics or mm-hmm. anything like that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I don't.
No. I don't remember. Actually, yes, I did see that somewhere. And there's like another name for him. It's like Talos the something. Mm. Kind of like Ronan the Accuser.
The Punisher.
Yeah, it's something. So yeah, we cover Talos, Yon-Rogg, the Supreme Intelligence.
Oh, that's a character.
Uh-huh.
That was an interesting deal. Yeah. So the person they see as their god or...
Was it their most important, that most influential person?
Well, I'm just trying to explain the Supreme Intelligence. Yes. Is that's their all-knowing, all-seeing, all things, right? Right. And then you see, everybody sees something different. Right. Nobody's seeing the same thing because it's what you see who you most admire.
Right.
Is that right?
It's something along those lines.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So, nobody really knows who anybody else sees.
Right.
She sees Lawson.
Yes.
Played Dr. Lawson.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
The stunning.
Amazing. She looked amazing.
Yeah. That short haircut. Bedding looked fantastic.
Yes.
I love that haircut.
It's great.
Just perfect.
Contacts were like, ooh, that's an extra spooky effect. That's exactly. Real nice to see.
Yeah.
But having her be Dr. Lawson, which is the real... the other call out to the comic book predecessor for her in the Marvel Universe.
Right.
Captain Mar-Vell in the 60s was a Dr. Lawson or something of that nature.
Right.
Yep.
I don't know if it was genders. Yeah. I like that. It was really nice to see.
Mm-hmm.
I would have liked to have seen when everything was breaking down for the Supreme Intelligence, if we'd had a flash of what it looks like in the comic books, which is that sort of potato head with a big gaping mouth, spaghetti stuff.
Hair. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
and you always see it on some sort of crazy screen.
Like a screen.
Yeah. You know, I can remember that back in early 70s Avengers with the Kree-Skrull War going mm-hmm. on and
mm-hmm.
Us getting to know Captain Marvel and more of the more cosmic stuff than just Galactus and the Silver Surfer coming to meet the Fantastic Four.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Next, we have Maria Rambeau.
Mm-mm-mm.
Let's bring them together. No, I'm going to let Monica have her own time.
You're right.
Monica needs her own time.
Maria was amazing. It was great to just see a strong black woman in this film.
In that position.
Yeah, especially in that position. She held it down.
Mm-hmm.
Held it down completely. And was a great contrast to what we normally see in Marvel films, period. Just the women in this film all together. Excellent. I loved it.
Anyway. I loved their bonding. She gets enough character development outside of Carol to be meaningful to the trajectory of the story.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, hanging out on the farm there, or the property with you know, the Skrulls and with Nick Fury just rounds it out. We get to see who she is as a person by how her house is decorated and with her child. And we get to see her age as well. What I don't know is, I guess the early young version is how the actress looks today. And do you think they aged her? I mean, how many years difference went by? Six? Okay.
Yeah.
I wasn't sure.
I don't think they did.
Yeah, I don't think
did
so.
Did they?
I don't think
Maybe
so.
Maybe hair a little different?
The hair seemed real different smaller. To me the 6 years later. But I couldn't, only saw the movie once, couldn't put my finger on it.
I don't know that I noticed. So.
There's no need to do too much aging there.
Right. Yeah. No, she was, they were great. It was great.
Absolutely.
Fun.
Yeah.
And she got to be a pilot too.
Yes.
On screen time.
On screen time.
Not just the thumbs up when they're out in the jets, right?
Right.
But she gets to have her own heroic moment.
Yeah, full scene.
Uh huh.
Yeah. Yep. And then next we have the lovely Monica. She was stealing scenes every chance she got.
Every moment she was there. Every moment she was there. But what was really cute about watching them reconnect.
Her and Carol?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
There was, even though Carol didn't have actual
memories,
there was this immediate warmness. There was this familiarity that they had, that she wasn't scared of the situation.
Yeah.
She was, and Monica was like, oh, you'll remember me. Like,
oh, yeah.
I'm just going to keep going forward. Where you been? What have you been doing? Like, she wasn't scared of that situation either.
Not at all.
When she was presenting all those photos.
Yeah.
And this was when this happened. And this was when this happened.
I mean,
Morgan was like, oh. Oh. I'm going to cry. And I'm like, this is amazing. It was.
I mean, you felt their bond. You felt it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
You knew. It just felt genuine.
Yeah. Wasn't it awesome how we kind of got the little, not necessarily an origin story for her, but just the seeing seed. Her. Yeah. Just seeing her at this age and her being exposed to aliens and all of this action this early. And it's so crazy because, okay, now this movie has happened. Carol comes back. We've seen that at the end of the film. How old is Monica right now? Is she at the age where she should be coming into her powers? Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, could she possibly pop up? Not necessarily an Endgame.
No, Monica? Already?
Monica with powers already?
So here's the thing. Because remember, Carol, that was in the 90s when she left.
Saying present day.
Present day, okay, Monica is old enough.
23, I think they say 23 years later to end the Endgame
thing. Right.
Yeah.
If Monica didn't, right. So, didn't
okay, how old was she in the film? 8? 9, 10? It was hard to tell.
I don't think she was 10. Yeah.
Like
8. I thought it was 8.
Yeah.
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 Because it was only 6 years before. So, well, it's too long enough to be able to say, I remember this. I remember this when you're that young.
Good point.
So.
She might have been a little bit older.
But it was also a powerful connection for me as a middle-aged person to see someone flipping out actual photographs. Because now we all swipe our phones.
Yes.
And to see photos of occasions, because then there's fewer of them. They don't have good exposure and all that. That was a really nice moment to see.
Yeah, that was amazing. That was amazing. I did like that final scene where we see her before Carol leaves. And she's got a black and white little dress on. And I was like, there it is. It's a tribute to the colors for her costume.
Right.
Right there.
Right.
And then her hair was out, so it kind of matched her look. And I was like, oh, this is amazing. It was just amazing.
Is it important to note that she is actually the first female Captain Marvel?
Yeah.
Monica?
Yeah.
She was actually the first Captain Marvel.
Right.
Ah.
Because Carol didn't get to be Captain Marvel. She was Ms. Marvel first, and then she was binary and Warbird. No, she was not Warbird. Excuse me, that's wrong. Warbird. Oh, there are people listening to this who are going to say terrible things.
But yeah, you're right.
Be gentle.
You're right. Because she forgot about that.
She didn't come to the Captain Marvel. Then she was Ms. Marvel again.
Mm-hmm. And then when like Photon
when Brian Michael Bendis was writing like the Avengers book, she still had that black outfit with
with the white and the big star on it.
So real quick, she was 11.
Okay.
And she would be 35 at the time of Avengers Endgame.
She has to have powers at this point.
From what?
I don't remember how she got them in the first place.
Oh. Huh.
Yeah, I don't remember how she got her powers. But I mean, if you're...
How did Photon...
Ooh, wow. Yeah.
That's right. And she got to be Photon, I was reading recently, because there was a clone son of Captain Mar-Vell called Genis-Vell. What? And he wanted to come back and take his father's mantle back, and so then she went to be Photon or whatever.
Okay.
You know, these permutations of this mantle goes back and forth.
Oh my god.
Between
gosh.
Qualified individuals.
Yes. Slightly qualified individuals. Mm-hmm. I'm going to let you keep doing research. Mm-hmm. MJ, you look really, really busy over there.
Really, super
I'm
busy.
They can't so hear it, right but now. Understand she's busy. She's quiet. She's busy. Up next, we got Phil Coulson.
Oh, Phil. I love Clark Gregg. It's Clark Gregg, right?
I think it's Greg Clark.
Oh, gosh. He is such a wonderful actor.
You're right, Clark Gregg.
If anybody hasn't seen it, there's that really wonderful little Shakespeare film that Joss Whedon directed that he's in. That's real nice. But I loved seeing him in this movie. I wanted so much more of him.
Yeah, I could
have
loved
him with a full head of hair. I love that Phil Coulson look.
Yeah.
I was glad that he didn't have to make such a huge leap of faith to know that he could trust Nick Fury.
Yeah.
That this man was someone I could trust, and he was going to do the right thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
In the face of all obstacles. And so, okay, I get it. You're going to run off with this gal who crashed into Blockbuster. well, then I heard about Blockbuster, and you then run off with my Skrull. That moment in the car was awesome too.
Man. Oh yeah,
the struggle in the car, yeah, and then changing to the Skrull, and then Nick just taking that in and rolling with it. Like, okay, I'm going to cover this scroll up and move on.
And move forward, leaving this car here.
Right. Mm-hmm. What'd you find?
I found. This is a lot.
Do it.
Due to bombardment by extra-dimensional energies, Rambeau can transform herself into any form of energy within the electromagnetic spectrum. Among the many energy forms she has assumed and is able to control are cosmic rays, gamma rays, X-rays, ultraviolet radiation, visible light, electricity, infrared radiation, microwaves, radio waves, and I don't know how to pronounce that, so we're moving forward. By assuming an energy form, she gains all of the energy's properties.
What?
Huh. She is invisible and intangible in many of her energy forms.
Okay. She needs to be a character that pops up in Endgame just because.
Holy moly, don't ask. What does it even mean?
I don't think we even know enough about the cast of Endgame to speculate.
Yeah.
Because, you know, there are people who could have been guests on the set to people who actually spent time filming.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like a lot of the filming was happening and people didn't really know what they were filming for. Honestly,
right.
Because there were things that would, you know, some of the actors are saying that they were shooting a lot of the stuff at the exact same time.
Mm-hmm.
Straight up. So, yeah. But she is a relevant enough character for them to cast an adult and, you know, for us to see her in phase four is what's coming up now.
Yes. Phase four.
She needs to be somewhere in phase four.
Oh, she's definitely in phase four. There's no question.
Yeah. Come on.
No question.
Yeah.
They're not cheap on setup.
No, they are not.
In Marvel movies. They show everything for a good reason most of the time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. So now let's talk about Carol. Huh?
Carol.
Let's talk about Carol.
Veers.
Interesting how they got that extra vowel sound out of that combination.
Just
not Vers. Veers.
Made it what they wanted.
Yeah. Well,
isn't that what they do? Those dirty, rotten Kree.
Yeah.
It's taking shape how they want.
Veers.
Veers. Yeah.
Good performance all the way through. This was, I think, only my second time with Brie Larson. I only remember her from the Kong Skull Island film.
Mm. Yeah. She killed that.
She was good in that. Mm. But I don't remember. I don't think I've seen her do anything else.
So I was in the same boat with you until I remember she was in Scott Pilgrim.
Oh, I'm guilty of not seeing that.
Mm.
Michael.
I know.
What?
I know.
It's really good. It's all the way up your alley.
I can't even believe it. You know, because I sold hundreds of copies of that at Counter Media when I spent Sundays there. But I never really, did more than flip through it. And then when the movie came along, ordinarily, you know, someone like Chris, because Chris Evans is in it, right?
Yes,
you know,
he is.
And he's a fine looking fella. But I never got around to watching it. I don't know why. I'll usually watch any comic book movie that comes along just to see what you do translating the material. Because I realize as a lifetime comics fan that comics has its own thing about how time and language and picture and other things are unique unto itself that are different than film or animation.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Animation can come a little closer.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Where was I going with that?
We were talking about your previous experience of Brie.
Oh, Brie Larson. And yeah, so I had no bias or any kind of like, I don't know anything about her. And then would she be good, you know, because they emphasized her as a warrior in the trailers.
Yeah.
And, you know, folks complained that she didn't smile. And I'm thinking, well, male heroes aren't really smiling in their
trailers.
Come on now. Give it time. Give the thing time, you know. And she was just marvelous, you know, like when I think there was a one time on the bus where she, you know, her hair and, you know, all right, here we go. I'm going to come into you again. I loved all of her her facial expressions and her body language and stuff. I never questioned. I totally bought into this interpretation of a character
that
we hadn't seen before. It wasn't like we'd have no introduction from something else.
Right. I didn't feel like overly convinced. It just felt right. It mm-hmm. felt like that's how she's supposed to be.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. There were no other heroes in the film that we had to gauge her up against to validate her.
No.
Right.
No.
Which was just amazing. Like, again, going back to the little things. Remember when she was fighting on the Skrull ship? And that one Skrull yells at her, and she yells back at him.
It's like, it was marvelous. It was a great moment. Yes.
It's like, what are you doing? What are you doing? Yes.
Given as good as she's getting,
if
not better.
Yeah.
So, and she had her peers among the other, you know, Star Force teams.
Yes.
Yeah.
So, she's already used to working amongst a group who all seem to have some sort of special power set or something.
Right.
Or assistance in some way.
Mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm. So she didn't have to feel alien. She looks like other Kree.
Right.
Right.
Right. Yeah. Her performance totally like won me over in the way that she's a badass. Going into the film, whatever you're going to give me, I'm going to find out. When that film was over, it was like, okay, she is not to be fucked with. She can stand toe to toe and really kick the ass of a great many heroes we've been introduced to in this universe already. Whatever we thought we heard.
Who's getting more powerful than that?
Bruh. Mm-hmm.
I mean, we can have that discussion, a different discussion. But,
right.
But man.
Did you get a chance to watch the trailer for Endgame yet?
Oh, yes. Multiple times today.
Yeah, multiple
I've
times.
I've only seen it. Three times, I think you watched. Oh, you watched it three team.
Huh? Yeah, I've seen it.
Okay,
yeah.
Three team.
Yeah, I came downstairs. I was like, Alexa, play the.
What a wonderful thing to be able to do! I haven't even seen it on a big screen yet. It hasn't been on the 4K TV at home yet.
I haven't done that
home
yet.
Long enough to before coming to visit with you folks that to take it in further. I had mixed feelings about the first part of that trailer, and then we have our Carol scene, and
so I was scared. I thought I was watching a fake trailer in the first part because it was all, you know,
we've
previous
seen it all
scenes
before.
And I was like,
mm-hmm. This isn't a real trailer.
Fan trailer, god. Mm-hmm. And then but that part at the end with her and Thor, and I'm like, Yeah, because it could happen.
Yeah.
It could go happen. Down. It could go down, Thor.
This could not end well for you.
Her powers are derived from it. It can end very bad for you, sir.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was awesome. And she just stood there with a little self. Yeah. And
never flinched.
Mm-hmm. Never
flinched. She looked over and was just like.
And.
Tight.
Someone mentioned that because of her powers being derived from the stone, that affected her aging. So she ages like Thor.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah, so she's going to look this way for quite some time.
Well, she's got to.
Hey now. So, how did you guys feel about the origin and how that was all explained? Was it believable? Was it hard to swallow? How did you feel they handled it?
I was essentially good with it, but I was already thinking, okay, if this has something to do with the Tesseract, mm-hmm. does that mean when she goes up against Thanos in the next Avengers movie that has him an advantage like he could with both Scarlet Witch right. and the Vision?
Right.
Uh-huh.
Since their power sets are both derived from the...
Mm-hmm.
Right.
From that.
Yeah.
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 So, I don't know. I wasn't really clear about how that...
That relationship.
Yeah, that relationship. But I was really excited that it's a little accident. It almost reminded me of $6 Million Man.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
You know, where he the only pilot with the ship and crashes, and then you know,
and they put him back together.
Put him back together.
Right.
I don't really think that there's enough of a comparison. I think I'm just plucking that out of the air for sure. But
I love the
$6 million, I love that it was an accident. I love that there was a little more interaction with her and Jude Law.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
on the ground before he stuns her and yeah. takes her
right.
off.
Right. Right.
Speaking of Jude Law and the end of the conclusion of their storyline between him and Vers or Veers, mm-hmm. I was kind of like, she just stuck him back in the bucket and sent him back to embarrass him. And then someone yeah. pointed out, well, yeah, you're a man. You're going to be really embarrassed if you get sent back with your tail between your legs.
Yep. And the news she sent him back with.
Yeah. I just feel like she'd kill him too. I felt like that was an option that was on the table. Like just blast his chest hollow and then chuck him back in the vehicle and send him back. Yeah. Like, okay, this is what's coming.
That's a message.
Coming soon to your place.
That is a very clear right. message.
Coming soon to the Kree Empire.
I definitely thought that was on the table.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And definitely lightweight disappointed.
They're disappointed there.
That mm-hmm. he gets to just go home.
I think we were all happy that there wasn't that tussle he was asking for.
I mean, nothing
to prove to you. Like, I think you kind of saw it coming to you. Like, she better not hand to hand this guy. No, we don't need that.
Just kill him and be done.
We already saw it.
We've seen it the whole movie.
Exactly. We saw their whole practice session.
Yeah.
And played out a couple of times, actually.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was when the origin story through the flashback, which was given to us through that black box audio. That scene was hilarious as we're waiting.
The CD-ROM to load.
I remember those days. Was that Windows 95? Or that Windows with... Be. I wonder if that was Windows with Work Groups 3.11.
Oh, God.
That was
God.
All the rage right before Windows NT and then Windows
Not 95. Windows NT. Oh.
And watching those load times for anything, I so remember all of that. It was, I finally got a video I can play on my computer. Oh, it's loading.
It's loading.
Oh, but it's on the CD, and I got a really fast CD play. No, it's still loading.
It was so bad. But I remember as they, you know, played that out and we saw the explosion and everything, I was like, oh. You probably heard me. I was like, oh, that is so hot. How they did. Oh, that was perfect, man. None of that seems stupid. This is real. Oh, that was great. So, yeah, I loved it. I absolutely loved it. And then, you know, having the Tesseract being introduced as that power source. It was just like, you know what, Marvel? You know what, MCU? Huh? Great job. Great job, people. You're doing it. You've done it.
Okay.
I mean, okay, I'm sorry.
It's really bad.
Okay, refresh my Tesseract memory. So the Tesseract was in that ship that she crashed in. Is that right?
No.
What was the energy? So, because
the energy source that was powering that engine was from the Tesseract.
Ah,
right. Okay. She used the energy of the Tesseract to create that engine. That light engine. Yeah. Yeah. But the Tesseract itself was still up in her laboratory.
That's right. In the Fonzie box.
Which she put in the Fonzie box.
Yeah, put in the Fonzie box, but it was in some type of thing harness.
That just holds it in place.
You know, you're one of the mill Tesseract harness.
Right, yeah. Right.
Get it at true value.
Yeah, Fonzie lunchbox. Got it. What could be better? I've already spied those, repros of those on the shelves, I think at Target.
Really?
The Fonz
lunch pail.
They're out. Shut up.
Yeah.
Wow.
It happened so fast.
Anything to get your dollar.
Yeah.
I saw it in a movie.
I got to have it now.
Well, there's two action figures on the table that, like I was saying before we got on, that I would have said last year, I won't add those to the collection. And then, I could pre-order these now this last fall. These are great. I love them. They're so much fun. The movie's going to be great. And then I go to the movie. It was great.
Okay, so what changed your mind?
I don't know. They're designed so nicely. To be honest, I have very few female action figures. Mm. I used to collect a lot in Star Wars and Batman Adventures.
Okay.
That was the time when a female figure would be a lot rarer because all of that was considered boys' toys, even though
definitely
that is not true.
Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, all children played with Star Wars action figures.
Yep.
I have not met a Star Wars fan
that didn't
play with action figures if they were a fan, no matter who you were.
Get those things out of the package.
Yes, get them out of the package. Play with them. Pose them on your shelf. I ordered stands from China just so she could have a flight stand.
That stand's amazing. We're going to get that on the social media. That stand's amazing.
On the socials.
On the socials.
Oh, boy.
Overt themes. MJ, we talked about it off the air. Mm-hmm. I would like for you to revisit.
Just women empowerment, man.
Man.
That was a bunch of different ways where we could see it being manipulated and your emotions being manipulated, and you feel as if you have to control those emotions instead of exercising any of them. And the flip of it is her controlling all of her emotions, getting rid of any outside manipulation and suppression sources or whatever.
Right.
She was her most powerful.
Man.
Whoa.
Unlocked. Not to be effed with. Yeah.
Yeah. It's like super powerful.
Mm-hmm. Binary power achievement unlocked.
Yes.
Man. When she lit up, and it's not like we didn't see it in the trailer.
Mm-hmm.
When she lit up in that ship, I was like, man, you guys are about to get.
It looked better in the movie than the trailer.
Absolutely.
I feel like
way to play that, because I was lightweight disappointed about the trailer. Like, she lights up.
It looked
so much better in the movie.
The same thing with the scenes of her getting up at the different ages. We saw that in the trailer, but when it happened in the film, the impact was just like,
The context of all of it.
Yes, and the idea
that you could ever be thinking that you're being told that you're weak and that you fall down all of the time,
and look
how much you fuck up, but you're getting up every single time and not quitting.
Yeah.
Did you notice cinematically how they used that theme of her getting up, and the time was either a compressed slice or they expanded it a little bit to give you context and built on that throughout the movie as part of the narrative, but it was, you never felt like you were overseeing the same clip again and again. I'm seeing the next few seconds after, or it was really beautifully inserted.
Yes.
To see her at these ages and these experiences, and
yes,
I'm getting up again.
Yeah, that was absolutely amazing. Yeah, yeah. So we're talking plots and subplots. What were some of your favorite subplots and story arcs that you saw happen throughout the film?
I'll just say really quick, Michael says that the villains were muddy to him. I felt like Jude Law was the real villain the whole time. Like, he was not trustworthy at all. He never felt like an ally to me.
Mm-hmm.
Ever.
We were actually calling that in the trailers too.
Yeah, like, he this just guy seemed feels kinda, like a
this is
and not knowing the comics and mm-hmm. not I didn't know if he was supposed to be like that.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a misdirection that way. Either way, when I never felt like he was not the villain. Right. So that story arc of me getting a reveal that I thought that was going to happen was great. You know, like, and maybe that's why it was so easy to believe the Skrulls.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But that plot, I
felt that he was a little more of a tool of the Supreme Intelligence than necessarily acting on his own design as a villain, which is why I'm a little bit more, he's murky. He found her, he takes her back, he's the one who's, you know, the leader of Star Force and coaching her through all these things. He's part of the programming,
the loyalist.
But they still have all the interaction with the Supreme Intelligence. And I feel like I get the impression from her having seen so much of Annette Bening's face reinforcing, you know, Lawson, that there was a little bit more interaction going on between her and the interface, the Kree interface, the Kree mm-hmm. intelligence. And mm-hmm. She was manipulated that way as well. Deeply psychologically, they were tooling with her how those memories are going to be accessed. When you open the memory drawer, which pieces of the memory are there? Oh, yeah. You're only getting fragments so that we can lay over this extra thing on her. Mm-hmm. So it was great that she got to, you know, when she's coming up to her powers, that she is reacting against the
the intelligence,
the Supreme Intelligence.
Yeah.
And I'm wondering if the Supreme Intelligence is really, you know, damaged significantly because of that blowback,
right?
Or if we were just seeing, you know, what Carol's visual interpretation was.
Ah, good point. One of the subplots I really enjoyed, actually, as it all played out, was the whole refugee angle.
Yeah,
and they weren't hiding the current day social political references at all.
No,
not at all. I believe they even said borders were actually mentioned at one point. You're close to someone saying a wall. We were really close. Mm-hmm. I was just like, wow, this is great. This is awesome. I was definitely digging all of that. And just that turnaround again, expecting them to be the villains and, you know, this race we can't relate to. And then we have so much compassion for them. And we're very concerned about what is going to happen to them. Like, that was dope. As I was listening and checking out some of the Easter egg videos after we saw the film, I just let the YouTube just go. So suggestion after suggestion, just different videos popping up. And there was a guy that completely hated the film. Hated it. And some of the things he was picking out, I'm like, wow, you're one of these fanboys that does not want their world turned upside down with the woman hero. Because he was like, oh, all of those scenes where he's like a smile and you know why they call it a guy. No one talks like that. Who does that? And I was like,
oh, dudes, all the time.
I was like, wow.
All the time. Men.
I boys, feel like.
Dudes.
All ages.
Yeah. Where does he live?
I was like, wow, you really choose to live with blinders on, huh? And he was like, the film was just, he hated Brie Larson's performance. He only loved Nick. Great. That's it. He only loved Nick.
Dollars to donuts. That individual has a lot of TNA comic books, like Lady Death or Jungle Girl.
Yeah.
Or,
Barbarella. You know, yeah.
All Vampirella, kinds of very, very, you know, Vampirella, all kinds of stuff, you know, where it's a sexy female character who's supposed to be empowered, but really it's just softcore.
That's exactly comics. What it is. That's exactly what it is. Yeah.
Which is not, you know.
What are we still doing? It's 2019.
If you're going to see the movie, aren't you going to have a good time? Aren't you going with the intent that you're going to go have a date night or, it's your superhero movie night with your buddies or any of those wonderful things? Because even when I don't necessarily care for one or the other of the films that'll be released, I always find something I can take away from it that I really loved or was presented, you know, because when I was a kid, we only had a few things like some Marvel TV shows and we had animated cartoons, but there wasn't much. There wasn't much live action, you know, and it's so fun that there's so much and everybody's enjoying it. I have struggled. I've had my own catharsis about, I've been doing this for so long and I get anxious about fandom in a way that's, and here I am being confessional on a podcast. like when I was a kid, it was such a, it was a cross to bear. If you like superheroes and comic books.
Oh yeah. Right? Oh yeah.
And now everybody likes it.
Yeah.
And it's cool. And your kids can have Spider-Man backpacks on the bus and no one's getting teased.
Nobody's getting teased. Calling them a
baby. Blows my mind, you know?
Yeah.
And so I think over the last year or two, it's been, you know, I'm okay with this. This is good. This is fun. We're all having fun.
I'm so glad
that these movies are made and they're successful and I get to have action figures that I get to, you know, Jones for and all that good stuff.
Yeah.
Ronan,
whose blue immediately took me to another forthcoming Disney adaption that we can save for another podcast. But it just, the blue is so bright and odd.
Let me ask you this. Was the blue that different from in Guardians?
Yeah, because in Guardians, I think there's a little red accent around the eyes and his skin's a bit darker and tarnished looking.
Oh, I thought I remember him having like
he did have
black. He didn't darker, have the bright blue.
He had the darker ones, the face. Darker things over his eyes. You're right. There was like a black and like a deeper, darker purple or blue around the eyes.
Yeah, he had a different look.
It was a different look.
Yeah,
I had trouble realizing that was the same actor.
Yeah,
he didn't look the same to me for a while, and then caught a couple angles and was like, I guess I could see it.
Ronan the Accuser,
who's the dick of all dicks, right?
He definitely is.
He's an extremist.
He definitely is. He got his ass handed to him really, really quickly. Carol tore through that fleet. She tore through the fleet like she'd been doing this for 20 years.
That was fun. We haven't seen much of that in previous superhero fare where we go from the upper atmosphere and out into space and she's just handily punching spaceships out of the sky or back into space or spiraling around and, you know, shooting photon blasts. Yeah. And it was so exciting to see all of this ballet in space.
Yes.
It was a lot of fun. Yeah. Really, really well done on screen, I think.
I absolutely agree.
Lots of fun.
Yeah. And that move at the end. What was it, like a clap she did? What did she do?
A thunderclap. I'm pretty sure that's the name of it.
And Ronan was just like...
Beam of light just was like...
Ronan was like...
I'm coming back for that lady.
We'll be back.
I wonder if we'll get that period of time at all.
So that's one of the speculations for her trilogy, that, you know, the second film will handle what happened between, you know, this one and Endgame. So we'll get some of that, you know, her out in space and dealing with other, you know, races and introducing other planets and stuff. So the, they can go all over the place with this thing. They really can.
Mm-hmm.
They really, really can. Okay, so let's compare it to other Marvel films.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. It's fun, like Guardians, like Ant-Man and Wasp. It's fun. It's family fun. It has just enough grown-up things that grown-ups can see and
care about.
And care about to make it fun to take the family, because there's nothing there that's, you know, anything worse than Star Wars. You know, no one's beheaded or any, no one lost a limb.
There's not blood all over the
place.
Right.
It's good family fare.
I'm thinking, but really quickly, I want to just tag on to, you compared it to Guardians and Ant-Man and Wasp, and Ant-Man and Wasp. I think because those are sort of the funnier Marvel films, and this is a funnier Marvel film, but it has its own humor. All of those films have their own humor.
True.
And I think that's why they work so well. This humor was so great for this setup, that time period, you know, of course, all of the fun Easter eggs that they give you for being seen in the 90s.
Uh-huh. Right.
But yeah, I think that was, that definitely made it part of its fun. That it was so great.
I might join it to Doctor Strange in terms of having its seriousness and enough humor to carry it through, because it's not
silly in any way.
Chuckles oriented as Ant-Man, Wasp,
true,
Guardians, true, and so forth. They have a little bit more ongoing, you know,
it's heavier
fart joke level stuff, which is fun. I enjoy all of those films.
How can you not enjoy Drax? I mean, come on.
He's one of my favorites.
He's invisible.
He's I'm sure.
Watch.
Of it.
Yeah.
Are you sure?
I'm sure of it.
It's marvelous.
I'm marvelous.
Yes. This
so great.
This fun is, it's fun with heart. I think that's for me, that's a good way to describe this particular type of fun that we got in Captain Marvel. So it wasn't just ha-ha, this is hilarious fun. You were enjoying... Part of the fun was seeing the heartwarming moments. Part of the fun was seeing the connections. Yeah. Whether it was with Talos and his family, whether it was, you know, the two kids playing on the steps at the end of the film. Remember that? It was Maria and Talos' daughter.
Oh,
on the steps.
Yeah.
Like,
uh-huh.
Monica.
Monica, yes. Monica and Talos' daughter on the steps. Like, all of that, that was part of the fun, that all those heartfelt moments. So,
yeah
this is, man, it was a very unique Marvel experience.
I would say there's also a lot of heart in the action, and that so much of the action, especially toward the end, was all about Carol's heart and her breaking through from the Kree conditioning and so forth. So, you know, she's having to fight now her teammates, but that's because everybody was kind of in on the joke.
The one girl was like, I never really liked you.
Never really liked you.
So that a tough thing to figure out, and you know, in that way.
Yeah. I don't know where I would put it yet. I don't think I'm ready to rank it. Like, is it within my top five, top seven?
Oh, we're not saying that.
Yeah.
Are we?
Oh. No, we're not. We're not. I was just saying,
talking about ranking
it. Into,
no, I was just saying, normally that's easy for me to do.
Films, it is.
Normally it's easy for me to do. I could be like, you know, we were able to do that with Winter Soldier very easily. We were able to do that with, you know, Infinity War very easily. There's just something about the way this film hits that it's like, no, this is something separate. And I don't know where it fits. If I had to, I don't know where it fits yet. And maybe I need to watch it a couple more times just to be like, okay, all right. I know where I can put this. Again, this isn't something I'm requiring of anyone else. It's just what I do in my head when I think about Marvel films. I always, you know, I have my top five. Mm. Yeah.
A rotating top five.
Rotate. Yeah, now. Yeah. So before we jump into rewatchability, there is a character, a pretty major character, that we didn't discuss. Oh. Goose. Mm-hmm. Goose.
Goose.
Flirkin.
Flirkin.
Talos' reaction to Goose the first time. He's like, whoa. I would not pet it that. I would not pet
Don't
that.
Touch it.
So I'm curious to what they look like off planet. You know, because it's not a cat anywhere else. Cats are native to Earth. So what are they seeing? What does it look like off planet?
I don't know if they're shapeshifters or
Yeah, I don't think I don't
So was
think
it always
are.
A cat everywhere?
It's a cat everywhere.
I think it's a cat everywhere. I remember as getting ready for the film, mm-hmm. wanted to know what is this? What is this?
This flirking.
Almost like a Cthulhu kind of cat.
Yes.
You Cthulhu know? Is And not very just because accurate. It has the tentacles, but because it's suddenly so cosmic as well, because mm-hmm. it can swallow a tesseract. Spoiler! So, I don't know. I think it's a reasonably recent thing that's been added to the comics, but I'm guilty of not reading Captain Marvel comics.
Right. Okay. All right. Well, how'd you guys feel about Goose? You know,
I loved Goose. I loved so Goose. Great. It was so much
You're not
fun.
A cat person.
No.
Yeah, me too.
Well, orange well, cats.
The
they
reaction,
have a certain...
The reaction that Talos had is the reaction I have to every cat. Oh, God, what are you doing?
Why are you touching
What is it?
It? Or don't hold it like
Don't
that,
hold right? it. Definitely don't let it walk on you. That's my reaction. So all cats are flirkins to me.
Yeah. Gotcha.
That's gotcha. What they are.
Yeah. Yeah.
See,
yeah.
I loved all of that.
Oh, so
I
that
identify.
Worked for you.
Yeah.
Those big sticky tentacles are going to come out at you.
You're like,
yeah, that's what they look like.
Going to swallow me whole.
There's a kid's toy, you know, a little fluffy, flirkin cat.
Oh.
That when you activate some part of it, it opens his mouth and out come these little blue tentacles.
Okay,
this is a children's toy.
Wow.
Wow, I know. Crazy.
Nailed that one, guys.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
Rewatchability.
Oh, totally.
Over and over.
Yeah, I was ready to watch it right then. Again.
I was ready too. Yeah. I would have sat back down and watched it again.
Yeah. Absolutely.
How about that opening Marvel title sequence with Stan Lee?
It's a polarizing topic.
Polarizing topic for sure. Are you baiting me?
No, I'm not. I think
we like when it as it was happening.
Not opposing views, but I think that you guys, you know,
as it was happening. We had the same reaction. It was like, why'd you do that? Oh, man. Very close. I felt like, you know, the waterworks were beginning. You know, the shift supervisor wasn't on yet, so we didn't get a full release. But there was a backup. There was something about to happen. And I was like, oh, man. But it was great. It was great.
I got there, too. I had the same thing. I got the same thing.
That was rough.
I'm just going to say Jack Kirby and we can move on.
Okay.
We're going to move on. I love Stan.
I think it's fair.
It's fair. I think it's fair. All right. So now we are at that moment. We're going to score it. So everyone, best from 1 to 5, how would you score the film?
Ooh. I'm going to go 4.5.
All right.
Can I do a decimal point?
You can. Yes.
I know there was some. We had some pre-recording fussiness over
how we
you know
score.
How we parse things out. It was. It's not like it could be improved. I think I just wanted more. Mm. So I think more. Maybe I don't know what more would be. Maybe a little more. I don't know what more it would be. I just can't even conceptualize it. I just wanted a little bit more. I felt hungry for more.
Yeah.
Show That's me more of this. Yeah. And then we get our two end credit scenes. We now know we get the little reveal in with the Avengers and the bit in the new Endgame trailer that dropped tonight. I'm excited. I'm ready for some fresh Superheroics, new face.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, you got it.
Man, he pretty much just what he said.
4.5.
And yes, what he said. And they're kind of putting themselves in a place where I can't ever give them a 5 because I feel like they just keep topping it. And so then everything can't be a 5, you know?
Yeah. Oh, what was a 5?
The first Guardians was a 5 to me.
Okay. I would agree. I would concur
that,
there.
Yeah. That was like, okay, that was a mallet
that was
on the whole universe. We were like, whoa.
Yeah.
We did not know we were supposed to be laughing this much ever in a superhero
kind
film.
Of movie. Yeah.
And the action was amazing. It was just like, what? Come on, man. Like, yeah. Mm-hmm. It was real. That was an easy 5 for me.
And we got Celestials and Watchers in that film, I think. It was making their universe bigger without working too hard.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh.
So for the same reasons that Michael mentioned, and also, like, it's like they all can't be 5s.
Right.
Right.
You know, they all can't be 5s. I agree. I would give
I think when you first see it, there's a element of wanting to give it like, that's the best, you know, like you need to watch it again and watch it again before you say this is a 5.
Yeah.
You know, like
I appreciate the tie-ins in this film going from the first Captain America all the way to Endgame, giving us that Tesseract history, a scene,
Pegasus. You know,
yes. Project Pegasus, the early Quinjet. Like, I appreciate everything they gave us through this film. And yes, I could have sat for another half an hour. I don't know what that extra half an hour would have been. But yeah, if it's on the cutting room floor, let's get it on the DVD. Let's get it on the Blu-ray. Give me more of that. So yeah, I'm also scoring it a 4.5. What else is there to do? What do you got else?
Maybe just more of Samuel Jackson, since he's effectively second billing. And he's been teased so much throughout these films.
Yeah.
And you're always left hungry for more
and you
Nick
got
Fury.
Such great Fury.
Yeah.
This
you
time
got
around.
Such great Fury. We learned things.
And it was great to see him be who you expect someone in that role to be, meaning he didn't have to be convinced. So when it was like the Skrulls can take over down to your DNA, but they're not going to know necessarily someone else's memory or whatever, right?
Right.
They
get recent memories, that's it.
Right. Mm-hmm. Well, so the fact that, you know, he calls him Nick in the elevator.
Right.
Split second, just like everyone in the audience is like, oh. And he's like, wait a minute. They didn't drag that out and make him have to, you know, be convinced that this guy was the bad guy. He got to get it with us. And I loved it. I loved that seems, that's who I think is supposed to be in a role like that. Is someone who gets it real quick. Instead of needing to be convinced by a 2-hour long movie that then they finally go, oh, I guess that was the bad guy.
Oh, I never should have doubted you.
Right.
Right.
Yes.
Oh, we went through all of this. It could have been different.
Yeah.
Right.
It's very smart, right?
So I'm happy to see that happening with, you know, some sort of weird government agency role. You think that these people are really smart, so be smart.
Right.
And it was happening.
Yeah. All right. Well, looks like the final score is 4.5.
Ooh,
for this film, no surprise there.
No surprise.
This was amazing. If you haven't seen it yet, you know,
why are you
probably
here?
Shouldn't have listened, but definitely go see it. For those that have seen it, please comment. Let us know what let us know your thoughts on the film. We always love the feedback. And thank you guys. Michael, thank you for joining us.
Oh, you're most welcome.
We're looking forward to
you. We hope this
is
the first time, not the last.
Yes.
Oh, that'd be awesome. That was a lot of fun. Who doesn't like to talk about film and comics and bring some toys along to tinker with?
Yes. Thank you so much for coming.
Thank you. And thank you guys for listening. All right, we'll catch you next show.
Bye.
Bye.
Oh, great, you're still there. Thank you for listening to another episode of A Podcast That Has No Name. If this is your first time, check us out. Please make sure you subscribe. We're on Apple Music, Spotify, Google, all the places where you listen to podcasts, and follow us on Instagram and Facebook. Podcast Has No Name. Deuces.
Subscribe, please, please, please. Click and comment.